Saturday on these airwaves. My name is Casey Steve, the voice of your valley. On Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS. Come on. Come on. That's you, Merced. Los Maños. Winton. Atwater. Livingston. And of course, LeGrand. We don't want to forget our loyal listeners out there in LeGrand. Still celebrating the victory. Jimmy Pacheco, new supervisor over there, out there on the... well, that's a big district, man. That's a that's the east side, the west side, the whole side, because they have a little part of Satanella now, Jimmy has. Oh, let's get into the... what are we doing here? Gotta get ready for the next break. You know, Dave Luna, big staff, big... Oh, that was a good song. You think? New CD. Ah, yeah, baby. Runaway Circles. Anyway, here we are. Saturday morning. Now, you're wondering what Saturday is. Is it a repeat? You're going, is it a repeat? No. Well, I don't know. Probably someday will be. We know it's April, what is today? The 6th. God, these numbers are small. Where does Luna get this? April Optometry Department. Oh, no wonder. April 6, 2024, Saturday. So happy to have you here with me. We got a new processor here in the board, and it's, I don't know. It's sounding a lot better. We got that little popping sound, that buzz. Oh, it's driving me crazy. So many things going on here in the valley. Of course, tonight, the big, I think it's sold out. I don't think there's any room at the inn. The CASA fundraiser, court-appointed special advocate, which I'm one of over there, here in Merced County, over there at the fairgrounds tonight. You don't want to miss it. See you there. It's going to be a huge event, big fundraiser for CASA, a wonderful, wonderful organization I've been involved with. Geez, I don't know. I got my 5-year pin, 6-year pin. I don't know. It's been a while. And the years, it doesn't seem like a long time, especially when you deal with young people and some of the issues they go through as foster children or wards of the court, dependency court, that sort of thing. Very, very trying sometimes. And, of course, big institutional hurdles at times with the human services, the social workers, all of these people that get involved, all for the child, and trying to just kind of oversee that, be an advocate for the child, just as it implies, and looking out for the best interest. And it's just been a wonderful experience. And so tonight they have a big fundraiser, Dueling Pianos, which has been popular last year. They used to have the CASA Cup, which was kind of a horse racing, gambling. I mean, I can't believe gambling. Anyway, no, they had gambling. It's the fun kind. You know, it's a pre-recorded horse race. If you got the tape ahead of time, I guess you could win a... You know, I don't know. You vie for prizes. Maybe there's cash. Anyway, they got away from that model, and they went to the Dueling Pianos, which I think is really fun. It, a lot of interactivity with the audience and stuff. And they actually came to the Manger one time. I saw them quite a while before CASA got them the first time. And the Manger, I hear, is doing a lot of great things. A couple of events. What they did, a tribute band the other night. I think it was Friday night. So a lot of fun going on here in town. Of course, the Sunrise Rotary had their shrimp feed. We talked a little bit about that. That was a while ago. The Wall That Heals has come and gone since we've last talked. You know, Easter was here. So everybody gets a little break for Easter. The kids have been off the whole week. Are you kidding me? School is out. It's supposed to be back. But he is risen. And the rebirth, the spring, the renewal that's going on, when you see it in nature all around us, the vibrant colors, the beautiful weather that we enjoy. And it was really good to see the Wall That Heals. Impressive. You talk about impressive. I knew somebody that worked on that, putting together the frames. And it was just absolutely a lot of work by a lot of people, you know, putting it together, coordinating it. You had to level everything. They had these big screw jacks on the bottom, if people know what those are, and they kind of go up and down, and you know, get it just perfectly level, and then put in the names of the folks that gave their lives, the ultimate sacrifice. Just very, very moving, moving event, just putting it together. And then, of course, all the people that visited it, participated. It seems like they could have left it here a week, but I understand it needs to go on. And hopefully it could be brought back at a time where some of our local school children and that sort of thing could be brought over there and kind of, you know, see it. It's an amazing, it was an amazing sight just driving by and seeing it. As opposed to the eyesore over there at 21st and G, the gas station. I talk about this all the time, but it's amazing how dilapidated a building, a commercial building, can get. You know, sometimes residential, I can, you know, kind of understand, but commercial. And right out there on the corner of 21st and G Street, they made a feeble attempt to cover over some of the graffiti. And I don't know. I understand that we have a new graffiti abatement service here in town, and I don't know, I think when Paul Creighton, the former mayor of Atwater, had the business, it ran pretty well, and now I don't know, it doesn't seem to be the same. But then again, I know the council, the Merced City Council, has been playing around with the contract and really hasn't given the vendor, I think, a clear direction that they're going to be needed or wanted, or, you know, what's public art, what's graffiti, what's vandalism, what's private property damage. And what's the city's responsibility in that? And it basically comes down to the city has taken over this responsibility of covering up graffiti, especially as it's visible from public streets and that sort of thing, even if it's on private property, and codified that. And now that they're not doing it, I don't think they're doing it as much, but maybe I'm wrong. It seems that it puts the property owner in kind of legal peril. But I guess as long as they don't cite you for it, you're okay. But 21st and G, the old Circle K gas station that started out with such great fanfare, the 99-cent slushy. Oh, it was just crazy. But 44-ounce, you know, you go over there and in a sugar coma before you hit the parking lot. It's just such an eyesore. Man, it's just really sad. The electrical equipment's been vandalized. There's a feeble attempt at a fence. They're temporary construction fences, and if they're put together correctly, they're somewhat of a barricade, but you do have to, you know, maintain them once every, 6 or 8 months, because people will make an attempt to get in there. I don't know what's left in the store. I've never dared to go up close enough and look through some of the holes in the plywood, but I just wish the city could do something more about that. Well, what else is going on besides the great CASA event tonight? And Easter, hopefully everybody's had a great Easter. It's amazing how the holiday that just keeps on giving just keeps going and going and going. Of course, we changed the clocks. Everybody sprung ahead. The quarter has ended. We had to do our quarterly duty here at the station, get our FCC reports out. It's just amazing how fast the year is going. We're here into the fourth month. Of course, the general election fastly approaching. I had a chance to run into... not literally, but just bump in. Not even that. We saw each other over at Tony's Courtyard Cafe. Judge Donabed, Monica Sani Donabed, who was successful in the primary election, getting the most votes, plus one, 50% plus one, more than that, quite a bit more than that, against a field of two other candidates. So that was good to see her. I haven't. It's a little close. They just certified the election last Saturday. It's my understanding, the latter part of March. And so it's official as far as the results. There won't be any runoffs in, of course, Monica's race for judge, and, of course, the county supervisor races, which kind of surprised me in a couple of districts. But again, Jimmy Pacheco, they're still partying over there in La Grande, because he did really well over there against the incumbent, who really wasn't that popular, a weak, lame duck candidate, had a lot of support in Livingston, but unfortunately that was fractured, unfortunately for Rodrigo, that was fractured by some other candidates from Livingston going against Rodrigo, and I think it split some of that maybe would-be support if nobody else had been in. But again, it harkens me back to the Pedroso race of years ago that really got Rodrigo into the game He wasn't even playing. He was happy being up in Livingston. And maybe, you know, maybe really that's probably where he'll go back to. So, because that's where he's from. But Jimmy, he's from he's from La Grande, and they love him over there. He's going to be a great representative, I feel. His wife Jeanette, longtime fixture at the district attorney's office, they really have their finger on the pulse of the community and of the needs, and it's just navigating the waters. I know that, you know, you get Jimmy, he's over there, he's in the boat, you know, he's got a hold of the wheel, you know, the throttle, and he's just looking over the windshield there, trying to make sure the you can get to point A from point B, you know, and that's the art. That's really the art of after you're elected, how you navigate those waters, how you get things done. Let's see, where are we in the clock here? We've got about 3 minutes. We talked about the wall that heals. I cannot believe how quick they took that thing down. It was like kaboom. I guess Friday or Sunday they had it all down. Talked about that. You know, a lot of folks have asked me, Case, what about these, you know, these pop-up kitchens, these pop-up diners and restaurants we see on the street corners, you know, at night, at dusk, and, you know, they have the LED lighting surrounding, you know, very, very bright, and they've got, you know, all kinds of food opportunities, and they just pop up specifically over there in the old KFC parking lot, the corner of 59 and 16th Street where it comes into town. There on the north end, and I don't know. It's just people are like, how do these places exist? And I say, you know, I don't know. I really don't. I'm going to take a look into that. I believe they have to have some sort of food vendor permit. I think that the city has made it very, very easy to get that. There's more of a, you know, a forgiveness than a, you know, hey, you should have known type of thing. You know, lack of knowledge, your fault. No, it's more like, hey, you need to get one of these, and I want to believe that everybody's complying, health department, taxes, that sort of thing, because, you know, the restaurant industry, I don't know, the $20 an hour, is that going on over there, $20 an hour? Because it seems like it's a very, very busy environment. It looks kind of fun, you know, it's kind of different, and kind of the street scene, if you will, and then, you know, the next day it's a blank parking lot. It's like, hey, where'd they go? So anyway, I don't know what the regulation is about some of these things, what's going on, but it seems to be kind of a, I call it the after five crowd, and they go pretty late, you know, which again, if they're serving in need, which you could kind of say maybe they are, maybe some of the brick and mortar restaurants should maybe stay open a little longer. But now, hey, $20 an hour. I was at Cold Stone. It's one of my little treats with my buddy Raj after we get done with the community conversation show, and over there at Cold Stone, and asked the girl, hey, did you get the raise? Oh yeah, you bet. Yeah, everybody, she goes, a lot of people didn't think, you know, like ice cream and that sort of things, because it's all fast food. So anyway, just amazing that you know, when I was a kid, if they would have paid that kind of relative rate you know, for a minimum wage at fast food, you would have seen a lot more. I don't know what you would have seen. I don't know. I don't know where it would be. It seems like it's going to be very cost prohibitive. Hey, here we go for the owners. Here we go of the franchise into the end of the first segment. So happy to be with you here on a Saturday morning. First full week of spring, and it sure is sprung here in Merced County. So beautiful out there. If you get a chance, take a drive, go to Snelling, go up into the hills, and just enjoy yourself. We'll be right back. My name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley on Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM KYOS. Stick with us. Saturday morning. My name's Casey Steele, the voice of your valley on Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS. So good to see you. Well, talk to you on this Saturday morning, April 6th, into spring. Spring has sprung. So beautiful out there. All the rain. How about that little rainstorm the other day? I could not believe that. Just really came down, depending on where you were. You got the emergency alert system here at the station going. Thunderstorms, spotted hail, damage to cars, blah, blah, blah. It sounded like we were in the Midwest. But again, spring went March in like a lamb, out like a lion. I think that's maybe how it kind of went. Of course, April showers, bring May flowers. Snowed. Snow level really low down there in Cathays Valley, the mountains, Mariposa. Had some problems at one of the transmitters, and one of the techs sent us a picture of his car up there in the hills. And very, very, very snowy. Or not cars, truck. Get up there to the top of the mountain, you need the four-wheel drive, especially, you just never know. But all this rain, really sad that we're not going to see impoundment, which is one of the things we really need, because it's just running out to the ocean. Luckily, this year we didn't have so much where we had the floods like we did in Planada in years past. One of the things that led to Rodrigo's demise was the response to that, and or maybe the lack of. I still think those folks do not have a post office out there. I could be mistaken, having to go to the Bell Station. Monday was a holiday. Not only Easter coming up, or was, you know, still in it, I guess, for the kids. They're not going to go back until Monday. But last Monday was a holiday, Cesar Chavez Day. City was off. I don't know how many folks got off. We had to come into the station. I didn't even realize. I was looking at a Facebook post, and somebody said the city's closed. I go, no, they're not. I didn't say that, but one of the post people said, yeah, they are. They, you know, I don't know how many days they get off over there. We do not seem to get that many days in the private sector. There was a city council meeting, though, on the next day. Usually they're on Monday, first and third Monday of the month. But this month it was on the 2nd, which was last Tuesday, and it'll be the 15th, which is 2 weeks. Well, a week from now, week from Monday. Anyway, there was a lot of groups that were getting awards, 30 minutes of awards to the groups. One of the ones folks are really familiar with, the Lao New Year celebration, good time, and the mayor always participating in that. That was really interesting. And then they had the public speakers, and they played this one phone message. It was a robocall. I don't know if it was a robocall or somebody talking. It was just a very interesting cadence on the voice. I'm not going to play it. It was just some drivel about the Brown Act or something, which, again, I always tease the Brown Act is a suggestion here in Merced County, not a law, but it is a law. Anyway, Rick Wendling, our friend Rick Wendling, frequent flyer up there at the podium, always bringing his wisdom. And he had a little Easter message, so let's go ahead and play that right now.
I wish to wish everybody on the council, and of course I can't talk to the audience, a happy Easter. And the main message that I bring to you that I think was made by Jesus the Christ on giving his life to save our souls was that we should love one another as he loved us. And that's how we'll build a better Merced City, is if we do that. And since the problem we have as human beings is that we are capable of both good and evil, so I encourage everyone to lean toward the good part, to help each other. But lastly, protect yourself. Thank you.
Thanks.
So love one another as Jesus loved us. Again, a nice Easter message from Rick Wendling. And, you know, bringing up a point, you do have to get along on the council. It seems like it was a pretty mellow meeting, 2.5 hours, actually. And everybody was, you know, there was no big protest, no Hamas supporters, no wearing of the scarves, none of that sort of thing. So it was a pretty mellow meeting that time, and or last time. And I thought that was kind of a neat message. Let's see. Then we always try to play the update from Congressman Duarte, Criston Santos, bringing another member from the congressman's office to introduce to the council. Always very interesting to hear what the congressman is doing. He's really busy up there in Washington, D.C. And as of course you know, he's trying to win re-election coming up in November. To his seat. They have to run every 2 years. It's really amazing. Jim Costa never lost an election, and it just seemed like it was a perpetual fundraising out there, you know, getting your name out there, trying to keep that name alive so you would get it reelected. And Duarte, I think, Congressman Duarte, does a good job getting his message out there through his spokesman, and I think Criston does a wonderful job. So let's play that right now.
Good evening, Mayor Serrato and Council. Criston Santos here with my colleague Kyle, who's new to the team, representing the office of Congressman John Duarte. I hope you all had a safe and lovely Easter, and I certainly also look forward to attending downtown Merced Lanier. That is one of the best events you probably have in our entire district. I had a wonderful time participating in the South Merced cleanup at McNamara Park, and this past Friday, on March 29th, National Vietnam Veterans Day, Congressman Duarte was honored to have the opportunity to attend the Vietnam Veterans Day ceremony at the Wall That Heals at Merced College. It was incredibly moving to hear from the families and friends of the fallen, and the congressman would like to extend his sincere gratitude to Merced Sunrise Rotary, Merced College, and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund for all the hard work and dedication they put into bringing the Wall That Heals to the city of Merced to honor the memory of 58,281 American patriots who made the ultimate sacrifice, and the living Vietnam veterans who never received a welcome home that they rightfully deserved. Our office is also proud to announce that Congressman Duarte's first bill passed on the House floor, the Confidence in Clean Water Permits Act, H.R. 7013, has successfully passed the House as part of Chairman David Rauser's H.R. 7023. Its passage puts us one step closer to clean water in the Valley by guaranteeing that the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination Systems permits now provide clear and reliable listings of regulations, making them easily accessible and user-friendly for permit holders. Currently, the EPA's NPDES permit riders often include language in permits that provide loopholes for groups to sue and block permits needed for critical energy and other infrastructure improvements in the Central Valley. The Congressman's provision closes those loopholes and limits opportunities for unwarranted lawsuits, codifying previously longstanding practices at the Environmental Protection Agency to shield permit holders from liability as long as they've acted in good faith and according to the terms of their Clean Water Act permit. This type of regulatory certainty and legal protection for permit holders is necessary for modernizing and improving our Valley's water infrastructure. I also wanted to introduce Kyle Savage here. He's a Merced County native and is going to be our Madera County and Fresno County field representative. I know he's going to be focusing on that area down there, but we wanted to introduce him as part of the team as the Congressional District 13 does include five counties, including Merced, which is by far the largest in our district. Kyle, I want to say a few words.
How's it going, everyone? Mayor, Council, just like I said, Criston said, my name's Kyle Savage, hometown Los Baños within Merced County. Been here since I was 1 year old, been seeing how this entire county itself, the part of Los Baños itself, has grown into such an amazing community. So I'm deeply excited to be part of Congressman John Duarte's team. Like I said, I am going to be covering Madera and Fresno County, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to forget where I came from and the small town vibe that I have. So I greatly appreciate your opportunity to allow me to speak and hope to see you guys soon.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate the time and the update from Washington, D.C.
So, again, really nice to have that update at really every meeting. And he also goes to Atwater. He probably goes to the other cities, too. We can't seem to make it any further than Atwater, but I'm sure he's probably up there in Livingston, other areas. Someone else that came to the microphone that I didn't have a chance to pull her comment, but I was president of the SPCA and also a candidate, I think, going against Bertha Perez. In the upcoming election for a city council seat, Cindy Kelly. And she talked about the SPCA, again, who she's president of now, took over for, I can't remember that lady. She had worked there so long. Anyway, they're really big, you know, on the TNR, the trap, neuter, release. And then they're doing the community cat colony theory where you neuter, spay, and then put them back in the area where you got them from, and I guess because they're fixed, so to speak, they just don't have as many kittens as if you were to just remove them and new cats take their place. I don't understand the whole deal, but it takes a lot of work. They have 60 community cat colonies here in Merced. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's a lot. I don't, maybe that's just normal for a city of our size, but they'll have to feed them and, get them fixed, spayed, neutered, whichever way they go. I kind of forget which is which. Anyway, they're going to have a big estate yard sale fundraiser, their yearly one, on the 4th of May, May 4th, from 8 to 3 p.m. at the First Baptist Church over there at 500 Buena Vista. They call it an estate and yard sale. You're going to have a lot of items, I guess, a lot of antiques, a lot of fun stuff. Anyway, she came up to the mic and wanted to let people know about that. And again, animals, everybody loves animals. Then there was a presentation from the city regarding a report that came back from HUD about the city's compliance with the National Environmental Policy Act. And this is a lot of people call it NEPA. It's another hoop you have to jump through in the environmental chain. Everybody's heard of CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. Well, this is the National Environmental Policy Act. Very, very restrictive act, very, very broad reaching. And you have to have procedures and policies in place that address this, you know, the concerns, you know, like everything's been reviewed by all these different agencies. Well, NEPA is one of them. So they did an audit on the city of Merced. And it turns out that we were deficient in getting this NEPA review on several HUD housing projects, housing and urban development. And so the penalty is you have to pay the money back that they gave you to build this affordable housing, this subsidized housing, in one case, sidewalks, because we didn't get the environmental clearance, if you can believe it, to the tune of $1,192,834. And I had these numbers verified by John Pedroza. I have his work. I have his work product. It's in a nice shade of green. And it $1,192,834. There was an ADA sidewalk project we have to pay $222,000 back on. Project at 1820 I Street, $269,000. And Gateway Terrace, which we were told was the end-all to be-all, $700,000. Now, the money for the sidewalk improvements is coming out of Measure C, which I thought, well, Measure C isn't to pay fines, but again, we have to pay the money back. So we're going to play some of the back and forth that went on after the presentation, exhaustive presentation by city staff. And I don't know, let's play Scott McBride first about why this happened.
Any questions, City Manager McBride?
Mayor and Council, I just want to make a few observations about this, give you some context. Kim is correct. This evaluation by HUD was in 2020. They looked at projects that went back as far as 2014. Most of the projects your staff here today had no involvement in at all. And so we've been trying to fix this for some time. I think we're now on our fourth or fifth attorney to work through the process. That's how long this has taken. We knew it was complicated when it took HUD about 22 months to get back a written document as to what the findings were. We've been pretty clear on how to fix this for a long time. Tonight, we have items for your consideration to help us do that. As Kim mentioned, this is part one of a two-part process. The other portion related to Gateway Terrace 2 still needs to come to you. But I just want to provide context, too. During all this time working on this, we still delivered on getting you annual plans for your consideration, the CAPERS. We did the five-year consolidated plan. And that's in addition to all the specific projects you looked at. The two home key awards, Devonwood, Mercy Village, Link Housing, 1820 I Street, Bella Vista, and the fact that we obtained Cal Home 21 funds for rehab and down payment assistance. So this did cause a lot of delay in things we could do with our HUD funds, but it didn't stop your division from providing support to your goals of affordable housing. So I just want to make sure that we acknowledge that. So this is complicated tonight. By making these payments, it actually makes funding available for more projects. That's the benefit. That's the nice thing about it. Nothing up to this point has been good other than we're near the end.
So what a great assessment. Nothing about this is wonderful, but it's almost over. And again, nothing happened. We don't know whose watch it was. I remember the planning director not that long ago was Kim Espinoza, who recently retired from the city. Again, what was going on? How come some of these things weren't looked at? But we'll get into it in the final segment because they go quick. I know they go quick. My name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley. Merced's News Talk, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS. We'll be right back after these brief breaks.
To love if I could. Saturday morning, April 6, 2024. My name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley. Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM, KYOS.
It's like having a dream where nobody has a heart.
So many things going on tonight, the CASA event over at Merced Fairgrounds, very nice event. Hopefully you will support CASA as they support the 500 plus, believe it or not, foster children here in Merced County. I think we're right at 110 advocates. Can't seem to really bust through 150 anything. You know, you get some and some leave, some come, some go. I understand, you know. Thankful for every single one, and not enough male advocates. A lot of need for that. I think we have 10 maybe. So again, but need females too. Need everybody that wants to participate. You're an officer of the court. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Also, heard that Judge Peretti, who is the family law judge right now, dependency court judge, oversees a lot of the cases that the CASA oversees, always there, representing the bench in the best interest of the child. Well, everybody, you know, he's the judge. And he's getting ready to retire. I didn't know that. You know, you just see these folks year after year. You just assume they're always going to be there. But he doesn't look old enough to retire. But that's what I hear. And he's going to really be missed from the bench. I hear he's staying until a replacement or something can be found. Again, Monica Sinai Donabed, Monica, she was successful in whether or not they'll go ahead and swear in ahead of the general election. Because there's no runoff. I mean, why not? She won the elections. It's just a matter of getting that appointment or the, you know, the date where she can be sworn in sooner, because they really need more judges. Court systems are really bogged down. So, but going to be missing Judge Peretti, Donald Peretti, wonderful, wonderful man, wonderful family. And again, tough job. Very, very tough job. We talked about fast food workers, $20 an hour. Unbelievable. Included Cold Stone. One of my favorite little places there once a week, try to hang out. Talked about the rains, impoundment, dams. I just can't. This time of year, you know, it's going to quit here pretty soon. But it looks like it's going to be a good year for the MID, the irrigation season. I think they're going to have plenty of impoundment up there in the foothills. Hopefully the State Water Board won't take it all for unrestricted flows. One interesting thing, just before we get back to the city council comment about this $1.1 million in fines we had to pay on affordable housing, back to the government. There's local passes free to Yosemite, National Park Week, 13 and over. And you go on the McCag website for YARTS, Yosemite Area Regional Transportation System. I think I'm getting that right. And you can get a free pass, 13 and over. Up until 13, I think up to 12, it's free anyway. I know that if you have one of these passes, you can take a child up to 12 for free, I believe. So it's a great deal. And I have down here April 20th through the 27th. I don't know if that's when it expires or that's when you have to use the passes. But if you've never been to Yosemite, and this is one of the reasons for the program, so many people have never been really above 500 or 600 feet, which is our elevation, was 300 something above sea level. And not a lot of people have been out of the valley. And it's amazing. No matter which way you go, you're going to hit mountains, and it's beautiful up there. So get those free passes. Get something from McCag, of all folks, the Merced County Association of Governments, your government giving that. And it's really a lot of fun. You don't have to pay the entrance fee. So when I say it's a free pass, it is free to Yosemite on the bus. No gas, no nothing. Hey, the other thing before we get back into the city council meeting, sad news, Barnes & Noble, no more going out. Also, 99-cent stores. I don't know if you heard about that. 99-cent only stores going out of business, 300-some stores across the nation. Inflation, me amigos, it's too big. Couldn't keep up with it. But Barnes & Noble, they dodged the bullet years ago over there and hung in there, had a little reduction of rent. But unfortunately, these big box stores, commercial real estate, a lot of things going on there that changing in the industry. And Barnes & Noble, a victim of that. Amazon, as you know, remember when Amazon came around and they sold books? It was like, books on the internet? What's going on? Who would think that business model will work? Well, Bezos. He evidently knew what was going on and then got into the retail end of thing, which by the time you get that distribution, if you can mail a book anywhere in the world, I guess it's not much to mail a coffee grinder or something else. So Barnes & Noble will be closing its doors. I'm not sure of the official deal. I hear the 99 cent only stores, they're liquidating as we speak. So anyway, let's get back into this fine the city of Merced had to pay for not complying with NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act, $1,192,834, numbers that have been verified by former Supervisor John Pedroza in his own writing. Because, my math is not that good. And John actually was a teacher at one time, I think. Anyway, kind of embarrassing. And the discussion was, well, how did this happen? And you heard what Scott McBride said before the break. Hey, it was before me. And I don't know. It's, the only good thing is that it's almost over. There's one way to look at it. But some of the council members had some more questions. Let's go ahead and play Council Member Smith's comment about what happened. And then Council Member Fu gets into an interesting discussion about, well, what would it have cost had we done it right? Because this report, this environmental report on one project, they actually found it. And a lot of this, I kind of gather, gets down to record keeping, to be real honest with you. But let's see what some of the council comments are and the response back, and then the mayor makes kind of a funny joke at the end. Here we go.
Mr. McBride, you guys get to the bottom of what happened. I mean, it sounds like a lot of environmental compliance is keeping the appropriate records for a certain amount of time. Prior iterations of City Hall didn't happen. Fortunately, we can get it from a partner. I mean, what happened in 2020, 21? Did we go paperless or something? I mean,
this was probably happened before 2018, 2019. I started in housing in June of 2018. And since then, I know what happened on my desk, but yeah.
I think it's a two-part issue. Some documentation we couldn't find. Some we did find later. We submitted to HUD and it was cleared. In some cases, I think there was just a lack of understanding that certain actions required environmental clearance. And so we didn't have documentation. We can't prove it was ever done. So it doesn't exist, unfortunately.
There also may have been some confusion with a previous environmental review that was done between the Housing Authority and Central Valley regarding the Gateway Terrace site, but it didn't review the entire project the way it should have. So perhaps there was a misunderstanding there that one was done as far as during that process, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, City Manager McBride, I hear you talking about, this didn't stop housing from being built or anything. I just kind of want to point out that these things happen. I mean, you almost can't build a sidewalk without doing an environmental review, and the number of projects that the city has done and the length of time is pretty staggering. So, kudos to you guys for unraveling the mystery.
Well, I think the mystery is still out there as to what happened, but making sure it doesn't happen again, yeah.
Oh, I know Scott and I had a conversation, but in general, how much would it cost to perform a NEPA review or environmental review, and how much was that? I mean, in terms of what we could have done and what we're losing here, what is that cost difference?
It's hard to put that in numbers. The more complicated or environmental assessments are done by consultants that the developer hires out for. Thinking back to Childs and Bee project, I think it was around $25,000. Does that sound right, Scott? That the developer was charged by the consultant that they hired. The lower level, all the convert to exempt and exempt reviews are done actually by us, by housing staff. We do send all new employees and current employees to environmental review training. Anytime there's a new training that HUD offers, we sign everybody up. And everybody that does environmental reviews or touches them. And so I have this sort of response when talking about this, the report and the findings and everything. What I come back and say is not on my watch, so it won't ever happen again on my watch. So I'm determined. So it's training new staff and keeping up with any new laws that come out. For instance, I think it was April 13th. There's a new procedure in place for radon gas monitoring, and so that takes an effect on it's coming up here on the 13th. So that's a notice that HUD put out maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. And so there's already a webinar training that we've taken to learn about that. So we're keeping up to what's required now.
Yeah, that sounds great that we're preparing to not have this happen again.
Definitely.
And the fact that we're losing $1.2 million for about 25,000, that's a real shame. But it's good to see that we're getting on the right path.
So for $25,000, we could have avoided a million-dollar headache, and it seems like that would have been good money spent. But you hear the falling on the swords of by city staff, hey, it'll never happen again, not under my watch, never again, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, our theory here is it shouldn't happen in the first place. But I get it. I really get it. Let's hear the final statement from Scott McBride and Mayor Serrato.
I hope that helps. If it made it worse, I apologize. Right. Clear as his HUD. Get it? How bad was that?
Can we use that?
Man, that was pretty embarrassing making that.
I think the mayor secretly wants to be a comedian. Clear as mud. HUD, get it? Anyway, try the chicken. I'm here until Tuesday. But again, a million one of your tax dollars. Again, some of it for Measure C. Don't worry. We'll keep it going. And then let's finish off with the mayor's comments. They have comments from the council members. These are the mayor's comments from last meeting. He talks about a lot of events here in Merced, feather in our cap, but no mention of the Tahiti Fete that was 45th year in a row. And I think, as I've said often, is underappreciated here in Merced. And I think the mayor maybe just overlooked. I'm sure he appreciates everything they do.
Just a few things real quick. I had the opportunity to tour the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant with PG&E. That was actually really interesting. Produces 10% electricity in the state, just that one plant. So obviously a lot of controversy around nuclear power, but still a very interesting experience to see that and to learn a lot more about energy production in the state. McNamara Park cleanup, here are the official numbers as of yesterday from Mr. Dan McCombs from Public Works. 8.92 tons of trash, 48 mattresses, 33 appliances, and 83 tires. Good work by so many folks. We probably had about 200 people out there, and then often we had a lot of people also come and bring in their stuff to us as well. A couple trips to the wall at Heels echoes what everybody else said about it. Really a special experience. And 2 out of 3 weeks, two weeks ago we had the bike race, and now this, we've had the opportunity to host an event with regional significance. A couple other things that people mentioned, Farm Bureau, Merced High Election Convention, if anybody's ever had the chance to do that or go to that, that's really a cool thing. Merced High School every year puts on an old school political convention where they elect all their high school officers. So having a chance to participate in that's pretty fun. Just seeing, you know, what it develops in terms of civic pride and knowledge. And on that same topic, too, the county town hall, and then had a chance to speak briefly with our county registrar of voters, elections office, without a hitch, it seems, this time around. So everybody's, you know, words and everybody, you know, having Mel come in here and talk to us. And I think certainly he heard it loud and clear, and it seems like the county did a good job in March putting everything together. And that is it. Or two more little things. I think Chief will put you on the spot a little bit, but it seems like we're going to get, I want to thank you and your department for all your work as well. Seems like we're getting, some better crime numbers in the last year or so. So I know probably a lot of that's, the numbers have to be finalized, but some significant progress, it seems. So I look forward to getting a report at some point. And thank you and your department for all your efforts. Seems like there's been a marked improvement in just looking at the statistics in terms of our crime rate. And then, I don't know who's interested, but I just got an email a little while ago about the final numbers for the homeless count. The big number for us and for our purposes is the city of Merced unsheltered count, down 30 from last year. So that's really good, down 13%. So from 227 to 197. Countywide overall, the unsheltered count was up. Sheltered count was up, roughly in line. The total sheltered count to what it was, roughly in line in 2021, or the total number. But from our perspective, over the last 3 years, down roughly 10%, maybe a little more, was our unsheltered count. So I think it goes to show the work we were doing on housing is there's certainly a benefit, because where we've gone the last few years with that unsheltered number is contrary to what other cities did this year. Where we're down roughly 10% over the last 3 years, the state's up probably 10% or more in their unsheltered count as well. I want to thank everybody for the good work they do and for making housing and homelessness a priority.
Well, we're running out of time in this segment, but as you heard, the mayor touting the progress made with a 10% reduction citywide, but still the same countywide. I don't know. I've heard some people push back against that homeless number point in time count. How do you know, they say? How can you get everybody? I wonder. Anyway, look, we're out of time. Citizen Watch, Saturday morning. It's been a wonderful time with you. We're going to have a bonus half hour. That's right. Keep covering the city council meeting. One of the topics of moving the podium. What? You'll see. Anyway, my name's Casey Steed, the voice of your valley on Merced's News Talk Station, 107.3 FM, 1480 AM KYOS. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.